Amen. Amen. Good morning, Coshocton. How are you? Amen. Amen. It is so good to see everybody come out to God's house this morning. So good to be here, right? Amen. Amen. No matter what we go through in life, God is always right there, right? He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. He just lets you walk, lets you trust, but then He brings you out the other side. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love You so much. Father, I pray that You touch each and every person here this morning. Father, from the top of their head to the soles of their feet, if their body needs healing, heal them. If they need peace, give them peace. If they are disturbed in their financial life, I pray for You to give them wisdom, to lead them, to guide them through. Anybody suffering in relationship issues or with their family, I pray for restoration in Jesus' name. And everybody shouted, amen. 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 Well, first things first, there is going to be a brief business meeting after the service. We are doing a Christmas program this year. It is How the Grinch Found Christ in Christmas. It's going to be a lot of fun. We are going to need people to help with sewing or with props or with this or with that or the other. We will be coming to find you. It would be easier to volunteer. Amen. All right. All right. You're a good-looking group this morning. I want you to know from my family and from my extended family that came up from Georgia, that we're no different from you. We go through things. In this past week, Amanda was hospitalized with a 2-foot-long blood clot. And the Lord did see her through. While she is laying in the hospital bed with the Lord seeing her through, the phone rings, and it is the breast clinic across the street there. And they had results from a biopsy that they had seen some things they didn't like. It came back perfectly normal. We could go on and on. Remember the dittos in prayer. Remember your neighbor, the one sitting beside you. Every week I've asked you to pray to Coshocton. You know, pray for them. The people that are here, the people that aren't here, pray for the leadership, pray for the politicians, pray for the teachers. This community needs Jesus, and if you're not going to bring it to them, how else are they going to get it? Amen. Amen. Well, this morning we are going to talk about the abundant life. I want to talk to you about abundant living. Many, many times when somebody promotes or says something like this, we immediately think, God's going to give me a new car. Or, God's going to give me a higher paying job. Or, Lord, I'd like another house just to add another floor to it. But many times, we as humans, we miss the mark a little bit when it comes to understanding exactly what the Word of God is telling to us. So this morning, we're going to dig into God's Word, and we are going to find out, through the revelation of the Holy Spirit, what exactly is the abundant life when Christ said that I have come to bring you life and to bring it more abundantly. What exactly was His saying? Turn with me to John chapter 10, verse 10. Heavenly Father, as they're turning there, I pray that You remove me. Father, let it be Your words. Lord, let it be Your Spirit that they hear, that they see, God, not me, in Jesus' name. Impact and change every life this morning. Amen. John chapter 10, verse 10. States this, it says that the thief comes not, but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. By the way, before I get to the second half of this particular verse, it's important to understand that this is a verse that holds promise to it. The promise to you is this, the thief is coming not, but to steal from you. The thief is coming not, but to kill you, but to destroy the things that are in your life. But it also tells us, for I have come that they might have life and that they may have it more abundantly. The promise is you're going to face things, and there is the things of this world, the enemy of the spirit, the soul that is out there, that is very real. But we also have a promise that if we know Jesus, that we are going to have life and have it more abundantly. The abundant life should be a normal life for you. If you are a child of God, if you have prayed the sinner's prayer, as we'd say, Romans 10, 9 and 10, if you have asked Christ to come into your heart and to live in your life and to rule and to govern and to guide you in everything that you do, then your life, the abundant life, should be a normal life for you being God's child. Even though we spent the betterment of 5 days of this week laid up in the hospital, I want to tell you it was still the abundant life. I want to tell you that although we go through times of loss and we lose our loved ones, as the Ditto family has, as so many of us have, we know that we are still walking in and through the abundant life. If we choose to see the gospel through our eyes, as the glass always being half full. If we're not always, woe is me, or this always seemed to happen to me, or of course it did. But if we look at it and we say, you know what, Lord, you're still in charge. You're still the Lord of my life. You still shod my feet with peace. You're still the helmet of salvation to my life. Then you're starting to realize what the abundant life should look like every single day to you as you live and as you walk. The abundant life is for every believer. Every one of you. Some of us are in one stage of our life. Some of us are in another one. Some of our children are in a growing state. Some of our teenagers they're in college. They're continuing to grow. They're still in a growth portion of life. Many of us are in a growth portion of life when it comes to our families. We have small children. When it comes to our jobs, we're just now starting to seemingly get settled. We're moving in and through. Some of us have leveled out. Some of us feel like we're declining. Whatever we're doing in our life, it's important for you to know that the abundant life is still for you today, regardless of your situation or what season that you find yourself in. Sometimes in life we find ourselves in decrease. Lord, what is going on here? Some of us, our children are getting grown and they're moving out, and we're getting closer and closer to that empty nest syndrome. And we feel like we're losing. But you need to know that God is just waiting. I see some grins. God is just waiting to open the windows of heaven. He's willing to just open up the doors. I'm looking for Him to open the garage doors over each and every one of your lives. The abundant life is to be enjoyed right now. To be enjoyed right now. Not to think, well, it'll come one of these days. No. It is up to you. It is up to you and how you see your life. It's how do you view the cross when you wake up in the morning? What do you think of yourself? How do you go about making your decisions? Do you put Christ first? If you do not, I'm telling you, you're not living the abundant life. But if you put Christ first in everything that you do, what does the book of James tell us? It says that if you hear the word and then you do the word and you continue therein the word, then all of your deeds are going to be blessed, that you're going to find favor both with man and with God. You are going to be living that life that we are talking about this morning. Does that mean that it's easy? I need to hear you. Does that mean that it's easy? No. Can you be blessed in the midst of trial and tribulation? Amen. And that is the attitude that Jesus is looking for today. The kind that says, you know what? I didn't wake up feeling the best, or I didn't go through the best of situations, or I had to push my car to church, or the car didn't crank. I had to walk to church, or the kids went crazy right before we left the door and I felt like not even going. But you know what? It's not what I want. Amen. It's what He wants. So there are some characteristics that I believe, if we look through the Bible from cover to cover, we can find some particular places where we could find covenant promises, or we could find God's Word telling us that regardless of what you're going through, if you are living a Christ-filled life, an abundant-filled life, you can expect some things. One of the things that you can expect is that your life, in order for it to have a characteristic of the abundance-filled life, your life is going to be well-pleasing to the Father. Your life is going to be well-pleasing to the Father. God the Father is not going to walk around doing this all the time.
What are they doing?
He's not going to do that all the time. He's going to be thinking, well done, thou good and faithful servant. John chapter 8, verse 29, it words it like this. It says, "And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that are pleasing to him." If we are chasing after Christ with all of our might and with all of our power, as we should be, and we are striving to genuinely put him first in everything that we do, then you should be able to see, you should be able to find your neighbors, your co-workers should be able to see the fingerprints of God on your life. Everywhere you go and everything you do, you should be trying to do things that are pleasing to God. In doing things that are pleasing to God is going to open up blessings upon your life from the people around you, from the humans that we live with, we interact with. You're going to find favor with them on your job or in school, wherever you're at. And you're also going to find favor in the eyes of God. Another characteristic of this abundant life that you can expect is you should have complete dependence upon the Father. As I'm going through these, and as you're taking notes or you're writing them down, you're taking mental note, you can ask yourself, am I doing the things of my life, my actions and my deeds, when I look through the mirror of the gospel, am I doing what is well pleased to God? And if there's an area where you're not, you need to put a star by it. It's not for me, that's so you know I need to go search this out. I need to look into this. I need to figure out where are my shortcomings? Where am I failing at? What do I need to change? That's what the gospel is about, is us finding those things, the Holy Spirit pointing out to us our convictions, and then we are willing to fix them because of what he has done for us. Likewise, our dependence upon the Father, if you can find a situation or an area of your life where you don't give him number one place in your life, regardless of what it is, if you're not completely dependent upon him, put a star by it. Galatians 2, chapter 20, 2, verse 20. It says this, it says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live it by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself to me." Our lives are not our own to rule and reign in them selfishly however we feel. If we are truly take a deep breath and say, you know what, I want this abundant life. I want to feel like I'm walking in it day after day after day. Then you have to come to a point in your life where you say, you know what, this right here, this life, this body, this flesh, it's not mine. It's not mine. I'm going to let him rule and reign, and I'm going to let him have his way in my life. I'm going to let him have his place in my life, and I'm going to chase, and I'm going to follow, and I'm going to depend on him. We don't always find ourselves depending on him. It's easier to depend on cars to get us from point A to point B, rather than we're going to say, I'm going to depend on faith in this vehicle. We've talked about these things before. For many, many people, it's easier for them to say, you know what, I'm going to depend on my bank account because I know what's there and that's concrete. Oh, but faith, I don't know. You know what, I'm going to depend on the best I know how to raise my kids because, God, I don't really know. We have to give it up. We have to give it up. And so many times we think about an idea where somebody would get out of their seat and they would come down and they would kneel in the altar. They would lay before God and they would pull out their problems. And they would lay them down and they'd say, you know, Lord, I want to be more dependent on you in my finances. I want to be more dependent on you when it comes to raising my children. I need to be more dependent on you in my relationship. But then they stand up and pick up all their garbage and walk back to the seat with it because they're really not being dependent. When we lay it down at the foot of the cross, when we let that junk go, when we let that baggage go, we need to intentionally let it go and draw closer to the cross and farther away from that junk. And everybody said, amen. A third thing that should be a characteristic in your life is complete submission to the will of the Father. It's different from depending on Him to submitting to His will. It's different. John chapter 5, verse 30. It tells us this. It says, I can do nothing. Completely helpless. As I hear, I judge. My judgment is righteousness, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. Many of us, as the Christian life, we wake up and we say, you know what, Lord, when I look in the mirror, I want to see more of You. When I speak, I want to hear more of You. I want to draw closer and closer to You, Lord. But do we strive minute after minute, day after day, for the will of God to be shown in our life? Do we? That's a tough one. What does that look like? What does that look like? Well, an easy one would be if we're walking up to the workplace, if we're walking up to the table and we hear people carry on and gossiping about somebody and being belligerent or nasty. The will of God would be what? What would the will of God be? Perhaps that we walk away, that we don't just sit, and most certainly that we don't add. Most certainly that we wouldn't add to it. But do we always sit at the other table, or do we always not add to it? And the answer is no. All of us are guilty of adding to an already bad situation verbally. We don't always do that. So we can say, you know what, Lord, an area of my life where I might not see the abundant life is I have the fleshly drive, if we would, to want to add into those conversations or to just listen, to not depart or to remove ourselves from them. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 8, it reads this way. It says, Let this mind be in you, which also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reproach. So let this mind be in you. What mind? What mind? That's the question I want to ask you. If you open up your Bible, and many of us do this, we say, Lord, I need a word from You today. And we grab that Bible and we wipe the dust off or whatever we got, and we flip that thing open with our eyes shut, we point, and then we start reading. So if you did that on this verse and it says, let this mind be in you, what would it be? The next three verses is telling us what the mind should be. That's what it is. So you would need to keep reading here. The next couple of verses is telling us what the mind should be. Your mind should be to make no reputation for yourself. That's what it says. It says that Christ, He made no reputation. Taken the form of a bondsman and coming in the likeness of men. That's telling us to be humble, to be servants to people, to love people, to cherish people, to be kind unto people, not to be a taskmaster or a slave master, to have the mindset that I am humble and I am a servant of God. And I'm not out here to build a reputation for me. I'm out here to share the gospel. I'm out here to share it. No matter what you do, if you're a plumber or if you're an electrician or if you're out there putting a roof on a house or if you're working on a car, you can still show the fingerprints of God in everything that you do. You can show it. And that's what he's talking about. You got to be in this type of mindset. If you have the characteristics of the abundant life, then you will do your work as you're working unto the Lord. Verse number 8 says, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and he became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. So Jesus right here, there's a Greek word or a Hebrew word, if you will, that gives us the idea of morph. So Jesus looks around and he finds himself in the form of a man. And he says, you know what? I'm going to be obedient. He humbled himself. Says it right there. He humbled himself. He became obedient to the point of death. What did he say on the cross? It is finished. He wasn't killed. Death did not overtake him. He freely let it go. We, in our mindset, in how we live every single day, we need to put down our egocentric attitudes and how we treat other people, how we act. What does that mean? That means that we would have a school system with no bullying in it. That means that your workplaces would be persecution-free. That means that everywhere that you go, you should feel the liberty to say, you know what, Merry Christmas to you. I don't care what you say, I'm going to say Merry Christmas. I've been with people in restaurants and they bow their head, and everywhere at home and whatever, they pray out loud. But at the restaurant, we all just pray silent. Uh-uh. No. You pray out loud just the same. Just the same. We have to become obedient to the Word of God in amidst these persecutions. We have to become tolerable of the bullying in our life. Jesus was persecuted. He says, because I'm persecuted, you're going to be persecuted. So we need to expect it. So we shouldn't get angry or not lash out when somebody calls us a hypocrite, or when somebody calls us a name, or when somebody says, well, I just can't believe a preacher would do that. I just can't believe a Christian would say that. When they say those things, just let it go. Just shake it off. If you did something wrong, just say, you know what, Lord, I did. I failed. Forgive me. This is the mindset of Christ, that we just have to become obedient to the Word of God. And as those things come to our life, we just have to shake it off. There wasn't too many weeks ago that I got called a hypocrite. I said, God bless you. God bless you. I'm going to take the liberty to tell you why. Because I can hear you wondering why. Because I stood up for my family. Not mean, not hostile. I didn't turn the tables over in the temple. I did none of those things. I just simply said, you're not going to treat them like this. You need to go your way. This person, I just can't believe. It's okay. Jesus was persecuted. You're going to be persecuted. Pick yourself up. If you need to repent and say, I'm sorry, then do it, and then pick yourself up and move on. It doesn't matter what everybody else thinks. It matters what he thinks. Wake up every day and renew your mind in the gospel. Wake up every day and say, you know what, Lord? When I go out into the world today and I tell the people at Walmart Merry Christmas and they say Happy Holidays, I'm going to say it again, Merry Christmas. It's okay. Don't feel persecuted, people of God. Do what's right in your own eyes, and sharing the gospel in our kindness, sharing the gospel in our words, sharing the gospel in praying for people, praying over your own families, doing the right thing. What God says to do is what you have to condition yourself to do every single day. And don't you be put down or put out. I want you to live the abundant life. Do not be put down or put out by what everybody else is doing. Don't even let that bother you. Moment by moment, you should have fellowship with the Father. Fellowship with the Father. If we find ourselves going too long without praying or saying, what would you do right here, Lord? It's a good time to say it. We should find ourselves in a continual battle against the flesh to push down our selfish ambition. I can't believe I just watched 14 hours of that television show. How quickly the time goes. Be careful not to allow those things to happen. It's easy for us to get carried away by vain imagination. And if we're to live the abundant life, we can find in Isaiah chapter 59 a wonderful picture. The Bible tells us in 59:1-2, it says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened. In this day and time, in history and culture, these people would talk about kings, the power of the kings or the power of the rulers by whether or not their hand was lengthened, their arm was lengthened, or it was shortened. When you read in ancient texts, you'll find that they said his hand was lengthened or his arm was long. And this other ruler, you might find a reference to the fact that their hand was shortened, which means that their influence and power was basically nothing. But this is what it says. It says that the Lord's hand is not shortened. That means he has all power and all dominion to do what needs to be done when it needs to be done. And then it says that it cannot save. His hand is not shortened that it cannot save, and his ear is not heavy that it cannot hear. But it is our iniquities that have separated us from God. It's our downfalls that have separated us from God. Again, in the book of James, we can find reference to the idea that we are dragged away by the lust of our flesh. We are separated by our iniquities. And our sins has hidden his face so that he will not hear. If moment by moment we are chasing after God, we will be conscious to manage our life in that we would say, you know what, would God do this or would he not? If we think back to a time when sin run rampant in our life, I can think back to 14, 15 years old, and I remember just waking up in the morning and I'm off to do whatever damage I'm going to do for the day. And if it wasn't enough, I went and found some more to do. But moment by moment, minute by minute, now I wake up and I think, how can I show the love of God to my neighbors? How can I show it to the other people at the hospital? How can we show the love of God to the nurses? How can we show the love of God to our family? How can we show the love of God to our friends? How can we show the love of God to those that are hard to love? What does that do whenever sin starts to creep into my life? It's easy to point out that that's not godly. But when we're not chasing after him minute by minute, when that characteristic is not in our life, we run astray for 6 days a week and then we come back for 1 day a week. That's not the abundant life. That's not the abundant life. The abundant life is chasing God down, chasing Christ down, with every minute that we have, every day, over and over again. Knowing that his hand is not shortened unto your life. Know that his hand is not shortened to your life. You may be going through a rough time right now. You may be going through a hard ordeal, but his hand is not shortened. It may feel like Friday right now, but Sunday's on the way. It might feel like you just put something in the ground, but resurrection is coming. It's important to know that God has not forgotten you. He hears you. Just keep on keeping on. Keep on doing exactly what you know to do. Do not falter and do not waver regardless of what life is throwing at you. Continue therein. Continue to do it. Moment by moment, make sure that you are maintaining fellowship with the Father. Our life should be a constant victory. Your life should be a constant victory over sin and the wiles of the devil. Your life should be a constant victory in this abundant life. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common unto man. That means that whatever you're going through, it's happened before. That means that whatever the sickness is, somebody else has dealt with it. Whatever the joblessness or whatever the home problems are, whatever the kids are doing, the grandkids or the God kids, regardless of what the neighbor's kids are doing, this is old news. This has all happened before. But God is faithful. And he's not going to allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. With every temptation that comes with your life, you're also going to be given a way of escape so that you can bear it. That is telling us that as we are being with God moment by moment, going through life, living this abundant life that we're talking about, we can expect temptation. But the Bible tells us that our spirit is willing, but our flesh is, what was that word? Weak. Our spirit is willing, but our flesh is weak. And we can think through those times that we falter, those times that we fall short, and we can say, you know what, Lord, I could feel my insides. I could feel my spirit saying, no, don't do that. But here goes the flesh carrying us away. We need some more self-control. And we have to find the way out. It tells us right here that in the temptation that's coming into your life, you may feel overwhelmed. You may feel like it's a flood. However, there's no temptation that can come upon you that you're not able to bear it, that you're not stronger than that. And in this life, you have to acknowledge that God has made you stronger than you think you are. God has made you stronger than you think you are. We may feel small, and we may feel weak, and we may feel downtrodden. We may feel like we're the tail and not the head. We may feel like we're under instead of above. We may feel completely backwards. But the Bible tells us that no matter what comes against me, no matter what you say to my face, no matter how you treat me, no matter what you say about my kinfolk or about my family, or no matter what temptation I'm up against, the stealing or the cursing or whatever it is, regardless of what is coming to me, what is in me is stronger than what is coming against me, and I can stand up and overcome it. That's what this verse is really saying to us. It's saying to us to pick ourselves up and acknowledge that in the life that God has provided for you, He is mightier than anything that comes against you. In my own life, when sin is starting to creep in, I'm going to tell you exactly what I do. If I am out and about somewhere and I'm starting to feel like, oh, here it comes, that being dragged away. Oh, here it comes. There's that thought to go over there and add to that conversation. Here's that idea. I turn on worship music. No matter where I'm at, I put the earbuds in or I turn my radio on, I turn the computer on, I turn the stereo on, the thing at the house, and I start worshiping. When I start lifting Him high and up in my life and putting Him first, the temptation flees. It works just like that. You have to find what does it for you. You can be an overcomer, but you can't if you think that you're going to sit in some room by yourself and wrestle against the flesh and think that you're just going to be an overcomer just because. We have to do things, people of God. And if you have to turn on that worship music and lift Him up and be separated from it so that it flees from you, then that's exactly what you have to do. I know people that tell me, I just get down and start praying. Some people say that they get their Bible out. I had this one gentleman tell me one time, he said, when the temptation comes to me, Pastor, I pull out my pocket Bible and hold it in my hands. Fine. Whatever we have to do to make sure that we are not giving in to the wiles of this world and to the wiles of the devil and to satisfy the flesh, which is against the law of God, in order for us to live an abundant life. Peace and joy you're going to have. John 14:27 says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. The gospel, if we study the gospel and we live the gospel, we are going to have our feet shod with the gospel of peace. Amen? Amen. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. That means that if you know that your soul is saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, don't worry about that no more. Put it away. Put it to rest. Put it to sleep. Put it to bed. Forget about it. If you know that God has brought a healing into your life, let it be. Don't run around trying to try God. Are you sure you did that? Oh, I don't know. I'm kind of feeling. Put it away. Put it to rest. Allow the peace of the gospel, the peace of the cross, to come in and invade your life. If there's somewhere in your life where you do not have peace, you need to put a star beside it. If there's somewhere in your life where you do not have peace, you need to put a star beside it. In my closing, this week we have had such peace. Have we seen the move of God? Yes. But we see the move of God because we know His Word and we do not falter from it. And when we do falter, we say, Lord, I'm sorry. We pick ourselves up and we run back to the cross and we try to put that thing down. We try to do it right from here on out. That's how we should be living, right? That's how we should be living. In this abundant life, you should not be so troubled that you cannot sleep. In the life that Christ has died for you for, you should not be so troubled that you tear your relationships apart. You should not be so troubled that it affects your jobs. You should not be so troubled that we lash out at our children. We should not have such a lack of peace that in and amidst calamity or something, we just fall apart at the seams. The gospel is the glue that holds us together. Amen. Would you stand to your feet with me? Stand to your feet with me. Jesus said, "Peace I give unto you." You have to take it. How do you take it? How do you take it? That's a tough one right there. If we're sick, if we have disease, and we know that Christ took stripes for our healing, and we know His hand is not shortened unto His people, sometimes not worrying is hard, is it not? Is it not? You deal with that the same way that I just explained to you how to deal with sin and temptation when it comes into your life. You need to turn on some worship music and you need to worship. You need to get out your Bible and you need to read about being an overcomer. You need to dig deep and you need to say, you know what, this doubt coming against me, I am not going to yield to it. I'm not going to yield to it and I'm not going to let this go. But I'm going to stand strong and I'm going to be steadfast. And I'm going to continue to believe God and I'm going to continue to move forward. Amen? The altar is open. The altar is open. If you feel God tugging at your heart this morning, I encourage you to get out and pray about it. I encourage you to get it out. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we love You so much. Lord, we love You so much. Father, I pray Your blessings upon Your people. Lord, it is so wonderful to know that Your hand is not shortened unto us. Lord, we love You so much. Lord, we love You so much. Father, in Jesus' name. I pray the crooked places become straight. Feel her right now, Your warmth from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. In Jesus' name I pray. Give her comfort and peace that passes all understanding. Move in her life in a mighty way, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord, we pray for our people that have experienced loss. I pray that that loss be turned into joy. We give You thanks for the jobs that You've provided this week. Four of them, if I'm exact in my thinking. Lord, thank You for the healing of Your people that You've given to us this week. Father, thank You for the testimony. Thank You for continuously reaching out and compelling people to come to Your house. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May He cause His face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, and grant you peace. and you're rising up and you're laying down, going out and coming in both now and forevermore. Church, would you give your response to me? May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Would you give the Lord a hand clap of praise? Hallelujah.